T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's different ways of describing what a three technique is.
The three technique.
A-gaps.
Hitting this week's top stories.
It's a newer type of situation.
With Spiegel and Parkins on The Score.
Okay, cool.
The segment brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com. Three guests, three stories that we want to give more attention to. We start in Pittsburgh.
Cover one.
Where we're joined by Chris Muller, Afternoons, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris, as always, we appreciate your time. The Bears have the worst receiving corps in the NFL. Martavis Bryant reportedly requested a trade from Pittsburgh. First up, should we put any stock in the Martavis Bryant trade request?
Oh, I think it actually for sure happened. Ed Bouchette, who covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette, because everyone likes to trust sort of that local angle in town, He reported that it did happen about 2 weeks ago. Either Bryant or his reps or a combination of the two made a trade request. So I think it happened. But if I were rating it as far as is it a guy who seriously considered this and like walked himself all the way through the process and said, yeah, I want to trade. If I thought it was that, I would say there was more smoke to it. But I think it's a guy who's just frustrated. He's not getting the ball enough.
And would they even consider such a thing if he really wanted that? Would the Steelers consider it in a year when they're obviously going for it?
Not a chance, in my opinion. Here's the thing. If he hits on about three deep balls more than he has, he's been targeted 34 times, only 17 receptions. One of those is against the Bears on the first play of the game. If those passes hit, just two out of those three, his numbers look a lot better, and I bet he's a lot happier because he feels like he's a bigger part of the offense. They love him still as far as what he could do for their offense. I think they're kind of lukewarm on him as far as reliability's sake, but they know that he makes them special. Marcus Peters was covering him for the majority of the game for Kansas City. So when you have Antonio Brown on the field and the other team is putting their second-best corner on him, what does that say about the guy that they're using their best corner to try and shadow?
Let's fast forward to free agent status for Martavis Bryant, and you mentioned the reliability. I wonder how many teams will be intrigued, and should they be? What's your take on his viability as a future pro?
Well, if you go just by trying to read into what he says and the tone and everything else, I think he's pretty chastened by it and sort of gets it that he's on his last pretty much legs as a pro as far as being considered reliable. In free agency, man, it's tough because his skill set puts him and his athletic ability puts him pretty much in the top, 3-2% of NFL wide receivers. So the idea would be there that somebody could say, hey, we can turn this guy around. We can make something really special happen. I don't think he's going to command a ton of interest, even if he puts up decent numbers, because there's always going to be questions. But you know who could be a team that would say, yeah, we'll deal with that? The New England Patriots. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they tried to make a decent offer to him when he hits free agency.
We'll go to Philly in a minute on the three technique, talking to Chris Muller in Pittsburgh. How much longer do you expect Ben Roethlisberger to play?
That's really the million-dollar question. I still think he plays at least one more year after this, but he talks so much about retirement, you wonder if it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. I thought against the Chiefs, he resembled old Ben a whole lot more than he has in the past this season. He stayed in there in the pocket, made a couple really nice throws, but you can tell, I think, when you watch him, the timing's a little off, and I think the will to kind of play through getting hit or being in the face of that pass rush is waning a little bit. I would give him one more year after this, and I think he might walk away.
Afternoons on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris Muller, we appreciate your time, man.
No problem, guys. Thanks.
Let's go to Philly.
Cover two.
Where we're joined by Mark Farzetta from the WIP Morning Show in Philly. Mark, we appreciate the time. It's been a weird year in the NFL through 6 weeks. Is there a belief locally that the Eagles are the best team in the league?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have the record that proves it, right? And now, really, what we were talking about this morning, as a matter of fact, was the Eagles have benefited from what the Eagles have done up until this point in the season. The rest of the season is benefiting from a league that has fallen apart, especially a conference that has started to fall apart. And look, you never root for injury, but when it happens and it benefits your team, it's considered a lucky thing that's happened. Anytime another team gets worse, whether it's a suspension, whether it's an injury, whatever it may be, another team just not playing up to par. Aaron Rodgers goes down, obviously the NFC just takes a hit. Eagles have been playing some pretty solid football, and to see the opponents around the conference, around the division also, Odell Beckham Jr. going down, Brandon Marshall going down. We'll find out what happens with Ezekiel Elliott, whether or not he's going to play again. All these things are just kind of falling into place perfectly for the Eagles, not just in the division, but in the conference as well. You look around the rest of the NFL, and it's just, Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs that match them for the best record in the league.
Yeah, we're all figuring Alex Smith versus Carson Wentz in the Super Bowl. Let's go.
The Andy Reid Bowl.
Right. Seriously. I didn't think that the assortment of skill position guys was going to be enough. Our old friend Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor has stepped up his production. LeGarrette Blount had a rough start, but seems to be locked and loaded. I mean, I guess it's all about Carson Wentz, but is everybody else doing enough to help support him?
They are, and the crazy thing is, when you look at preseason, training camp, all, everything, you heard reports about Nelson Agholor. I went down to practice and training camp, watched Nelson Agholor, and he looked good. But as the old saying goes, everybody looks good in shorts and shells. Everybody looks good at practice. But would it really matter when it came to the game? And that's where he's really stepped up his game. He had an interesting thing, Nelson Agholor. I don't know if you guys heard about this. He decided to keep track of all his drops in training camp at practice and in games, in preseason games. He kept track of them on a whiteboard. And on this whiteboard, which he hung in his locker, he also would have motivational quotes. Well, whatever he's writing on there, it's working because the guy has been the top Eagles receiver. Granted, things have opened up because of Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, and the number one target of Carson Wentz is tight end Zach Ertz. But just looking at Nelson Agholor, he has been the number one wide receiver statistically speaking so far on the Eagles this year. So whatever he's doing, keep it going. We've even seen not just a good route running from him this year, but we've even seen a little bit of speed. You look back at that Thursday night game against the slant route lined up against a linebacker. Carson Wentz hits him in stride. He turns on the burners for another 20 yards and is able to score a touchdown on that play. He's probably been the most pleasant surprise. Everybody else has been able to open up things to help Carson Wentz. He's got help in the ground game. It's not great, but it's good enough. LeGarrette Blount has been a great acquisition from the Patriots. So far for this season, he has really been a guy you could look at as a closer where you need that big run at the end of the game where you're trying to wind down the clock. He's been able to do it. The one exception has been that Panthers game. But other than that, Blount has come up pretty clutch out of the backfield for the Eagles.
We'll talk to Wayne Larrivee about the Packers here in just a minute as we wrap up with Mark Falzetta on the three technique from Philly. What are people thinking and hoping? Because he's made a leap from year one to year two, Carson Wentz has. But like, what do people think is his ceiling?
People think MVP is his ceiling, and I really don't think he can go much higher than that. Obviously, Super Bowl would be phenomenal, but if you're just talking about individual accomplishment, people look at him, and they do see a guy that can win an MVP. They see a guy that can take this team to the first-ever Super Bowl in Philadelphia history. But they look at this guy and see nothing but confidence, and really that's what he exudes. And this is the type of guy that will take on a defensive player, try to score a touchdown by dropping a shoulder. Now, You hate to see it, but you love to see it at the same time because you love to see that type of mentality, but you hate to see the idea come to fruition of any type of injury, as I'm sure they'll know all about in Green Bay. But he's a guy that a lot of people can get behind easily. He's an easy guy to root for. He commands the locker room, commands the huddle. You never, even going back to last year, his rookie season, just watching him play, you don't get the feeling you're looking at a guy in his sophomore year right now. You get the feeling you're watching a guy who's been 10 years in the league.
Mark, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much. That's Mark Farzetta.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. That's Mark Farzetta from the WIP Morning Show. Go to Green Bay.
Cover three.
As we're joined by, frankly speaks, one of the voices of my youth. I could ask this guy stories for hours and hours, Wayne Larrivee, the radio voice of the Packers.
Hey, Wayne, it's our old friend Wayne Larrivee. How are you, sir?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We are good. What's life going to be like without Aaron Rodgers, though?
Going to be interesting, isn't it? I'll tell you what, we'll find out soon enough. We got a glimpse of it 3 years ago, but this is, I think, going to be a little longer window without him.
The conviction level from Mike McCarthy on Brett Hundley seemed to be pretty high yesterday.
You know, I think as they've invested 3 years in Brett Hundley, They like Brett Hundley. The only thing they need to find out is what is Brett Hundley as a real quarterback in an NFL game. And I'm not talking preseason, because as Belichick mentions, in preseason, even when you play in those games, you're not going up against teams scheming and doing things defensively that they would normally do in a regular season game. You're only going to get this. You're only going to find out about a player or a quarterback in a regular season game for sure. And that's what we're going to find out about Brett Hundley. You know, he's passed all the tests outside of the classroom, in the classroom, outside the classroom, that type of thing. Now it's time to see what he can do in a regular season game. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to that in some respects.
What do we know about him? You say he's passed the tests. Like, I know nothing about Brett Hundley.
Well, you know, he was a big-time player at UCLA as a quarterback. He's a guy who has studied under Mike McCarthy's system and the quarterbacks coaches they've had here. And Aaron Rodgers has had a major influence on this kid. And you could even see it the way that he moved around a little bit in the Minnesota game. But what kind of quarterback is he? What kind of arm does he have? He doesn't have the arm that Aaron Rodgers has, and he doesn't have the command, nor could he, at this stage in his career that Aaron has. But we're going to find out what he has, that's for sure, because he's going to be the guy.
Talking to Wayne Larrivee about the Packers, their play-by-play voice, is there any hope they're leaving the door open for an Aaron Rodgers return come playoff time or sooner?
Well, you know, they're going to leave the door open for that, but if you talk to anybody in the medical profession, they just shake their head. There's just no way. I mean, it's a right collarbone injury. I assume you have to wait until they have the surgery done before you get a real timeline, but most people would say probably not. And the athletic trainers I've talked to this week maintain that even if the bone heals in time for, let's say, a January playoff run, what about the arm strength? Because it's not going to be the same. And if Aaron Rodgers can't go out there and be Aaron Rodgers and make all the throws Aaron Rodgers makes, then why put him out there?
It's a better league when he's in it. As much as Bears fans are driven crazy by him, his entertainment level is off the charts. So, you know, hopefully he gets back and this isn't some kind of career-defining thing. You know, Tony Romo had a collarbone, then he had another collarbone. Speaking of Tony Romo, is there a wild card here beyond Joe Callahan? Is there a Colin Kaepernick option? Is there a Tony Romo option? Is there anything out of left field that's possible?
I don't think so, guys. Although Governor Walker here in Wisconsin mentioned Tony Romo would be a nice addition. After all, he is a Wisconsin guy, sort of.
I'm sure Mike McCarthy loves that.
Yeah, he liked even less the suggestion that the Packers bring in Colin Kaepernick. And here's the seriously, though, guys, it would be real hard to bring in a quarterback who does not have any background whatsoever in Mike McCarthy's system and expect that quarterback, even a veteran, to come in and make a difference at this stage of the season.
Last thing for you, as we talk to Wayne Larrivee, play-by-play voice of the Packers. Obviously, you've seen the Packers up close and personal, but with the schedule, you've seen the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Vikings, the Falcons. Do you have any guess 6 weeks into the season as to, or maybe a stronger than a guess, as to who the best team in the NFC might be?
No, I don't. My thought would be Atlanta, but they played terribly. They played one good game. They blew out the Packers in Atlanta. But beyond that, I don't know who's good in the league. You know what I mean? And look at the star power people we've lost in this league. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt,
David Johnson.
In Indianapolis hasn't even played. I mean, David Johnson in Arizona, people don't realize how good a back he is. Might be top two back in the league. Hasn't played. You know, the star power, Odell Beckham Jr., is out of this thing. I mean, I see the Giants take eight guys on the injured reserve list, eight starters gone. They go to Denver, winless, and beat the Broncos. You know, Pittsburgh, 1 week after getting blown away at home by Jacksonville, goes to Kansas City and upsets the undefeated Chiefs. So I don't know who's good in this league. I don't think anybody's good in this league, to be honest with you right now.
How about a third-round pick for Mike Glennon? What do you think? Wayne, can you talk to your people?
I think that's a little steep.
How about some tickets to Bears-Packers at Lambeau for next year for Mike Glennon?
I'll tell you what, though. I think take a shot at Trubisky. I think we'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I bet you would. Keep your hands off him. That's the next Aaron Rodgers in this division, Wayne.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I liked what I've seen the first couple of weeks with him at quarterback.
We very much appreciate the time, and don't be a stranger to the show, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Wayne.
That's Wayne Larrivee, radio voice of the Packers with stops in Pittsburgh, Philly, and Green Bay. That was the three technique.
Does that answer that a little bit for you?
A little bit less, thank you. When you say the voice of your youth, are Bulls games?
Bulls games.
Yeah, Bulls games.
Bulls games, man. Bulls were my favorite team.
Prior to that, obviously voice of the Bears for a long, long time.
Of course.
But not in your youth at that point.
No. But no, Bulls games. Mm. I love Wayne Larrivee, man. Are you kidding? It's Wayne Larrivee. I know people are like, oh.
Traitor.
Right, of course. Traitor. The Bears, and now he does the Packers and all of that. But, I mean, Bulls games.
I believe that our morning show host from Philadelphia, Mark Falzetti, said that maybe, just maybe, the Eagles and Carson Wentz can reach the first Super Bowl in Philadelphia history.
I think it was fairly clear when their first, right?
Of course.
Is that what he said?
I'm pretty sure he knows the Eagles have been in a Super Bowl before.
I would imagine he has.
What was the wording? The wording was a first Super Bowl in Philadelphia history, though.
Bring us our first Super Bowl.
You might want to add the word title. That's okay. Open mouth, say things. You're pretty sure he knows?
I would think a morning show host in Philly is aware that the Eagles have played in a Super Bowl before.
It's a long time ago.
Can we get that technical on your guys' answers?
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
January of 1981. See, I'll never forget because I was 10 years old as I watched Ron Jaworski do a polka in the victorious Eagles locker room. Mm. They showed Jaws doing a polka. And I was like, wow, okay, that's something that's happening. But I realized that people celebrate things like that quite a bit.
Speaking to the injuries in the NFL, Joe Ostrowski's got some information that I asked him to pull together for us that just shows exactly how crazy the Aaron Rodgers injury is for the league. We got Mike Lombardi at 11:40, Joe Madden at noon, and I'm told there is a John Lackey voicemail. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on Spiegel and Parkins, this segment brought to you by Kidde. How old are your smoke alarms? Replace today with Kidde's worry-free alarms. Get 10 years of power and no low battery chirps. Kidde, technology that saves lives.
Check out our live video stream at 670thescore.com, brought to you by Marvel Universe Live at the Allstate Arena, November 2nd through the 5th. It's MarvelUniverseLive.com.
I wanted to talk to Joe Ostrowski for just a minute before this update.
All right, later.
No, that's not what I meant. He knows an insane amount about gambling. He's got his podcast. He's in the Super Contest and all that. But you don't have to care at all about gambling to illustrate this, right? We agree it's been a crazy year in the NFL, and there's been an insane number of injuries. We just went over some of them with Wayne Larrivee, and it's tossed the entire league into chaos. It's completely wide open. The impact of these guys being out – according to the spread in Vegas. So, like, Joe, how much do lines move or did a line move when, like, Odell Beckham was out?
Yeah, Odell Beckham considered one of the best receivers, but you think about it, catches this year, 4, 9, 7, and 5. So how much is he really touching the ball? So he is worth about 1 point to the line.
Okay, so Odell Beckham, maybe the best receiver in football, worth 1 point to the line.
Mm-hmm.
What about David Johnson, the number one pick in most fantasy football drafts?
Yeah, somebody that in most cases in Cardinals offense last year, he would touch the ball between 20 to 30 points, 30 times per game. He's a little bit more than a point, maybe a point and a half would be pushing it, but that's max for David Johnson.
What about J.J. Watt?
Best defensive lineman in football, can dominate a game. Also 1 point. Doesn't touch the football.
So 1 point, 1.5, 1 point. Aaron Rodgers?
Did you wonder about Andrew Luck?
Oh, yeah. You got Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I do have Andrew Luck.
Yeah, okay. So give me a quarterback. Sure. Give me Andrew Luck.
So week one, Colts, Rams, they weren't sure if Luck was going to play. The assumption out in Vegas, they made the line like Luck was playing. It was Colts -3. When the announcement came that Luck was not playing, the Rams became 3.5-point favorites, making him a 6.5-point value. And part of that is the tick down all the way down to Scott Tolzien, who did take his place.
Okay.
Six and a half points.
Six and a half points is massive, thinking about the quarterback impact in the league when you've got a good one to a bad one. All right, so what is the line spread show for the drop from Aaron Rodgers to Brett Hundley?
So on the look-ahead line is the early line that comes out a week in advance before Sunday's game. The look-ahead line for Packers-Saints was the Packers favored by 6.5. It opened on Sunday night as the Saints favored by 4, a swing of 10.5. And right now, the line is the Saints favored by 6, a swing of 12.5.
It's got to be the most by far, because if Brady was out, Garoppolo would not be as big of a drop, right?
Brady's about a 7-point value, a little bit more than Luck. And part of that is the bookmakers believe that even if Garoppolo was starting an entire season, that the Patriots still win that AFC East.
Gotcha. That is an insanely – it's a great encapsulation of just how good Rodgers is and how little other players matter in terms of the spread.
And how little the other players on Green Bay are kind of respected. Like, Rodgers is the best quarterback on a mediocre team.
Yes.
Right? The difference between Rodgers and the rest of his team is vast. I wonder, Joe, if anything in there about the Saints matters, because the Saints had an unbelievable effort on defense.
Well, you don't know, also don't know anything about Brett Hundley. It's 3 years, and we don't know what he is right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Saints, they're an improved team. This week, I was looking around before that performance, they were about 50-60 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. Right now, they're between 20 and 30.
And when I say unbelievable performance, they gave up a lot of yards to Stafford, who came charging late, but they also had a bunch of sacks and 2 defensive touchdowns.
Yes, and the Packers, by the way, on Sunday after the injury, they went from 5 to 1 to win the Super Bowl to 16 to 1.
Great stuff. And Joe has a new podcast, Early Odds. It looks at exactly this type of thing, the first look at the week ahead in the NFL. It's the Early Odds podcast. You could download it now, and now you can listen to his update. In just over an hour, we'll talk to Mike Lombardi, former NFL general manager. He has had some very strong thoughts, both pro and con, frankly, on the Bears since Mitch Trubisky has been starting. So we'll talk to a former executive at 11:40 about that. And of course, our conversation with Joe Maddon in 90 minutes. Someone texted in to be sure to check the voicemail line today. We like that it's started to become a habit for you guys. 312-729-3965. And I say you guys as all of you out there, guys and girls too. Some women have dominated on the early showings in the voicemail. Shout out to Becky in Tennessee, one of the great voicemail participants so far. But a lot of you have also been coming after the show with some songs, you know, and we have track 5 of the Mitch album coming out probably on Friday ahead of his third start. Apparently there's a song here, Spiegs. You and I have not heard this, so let's listen together.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line.
Hi, this is Larry in Indy, and I've got a song for you. Blame it all on my boss. I came in to toss and ruin your playoff affair. The last one to know, the last one to throw. I was the last one you thought you'd see there. I saw the surprise in Joe Maddon's eyes. When I grew that ball to JT, then I toasted you, said, Cub fans, we may be through, but I'm leaving here with jewelry, cause I got friends in bandit races where the champagne burns and the beer chases my blues away, and I'll be okay. I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll shine my teeth in all your faces. So I've got friends in pennant races.
End of message.
Wow.
That was very solid.
Very strong.
He's a good singer.
Yeah.
Hell of a singer. And he hit all the little nuance in the melody. Powerful. A couple of laughs in there. Couple of them.
A couple of them. Maybe a little long, yeah. But I mean, he held the tune.
He did the verse and the chorus, had it all written out.
That's well
Didn't
done.
Didn't stumble. That's better than me on most of them, and certainly better than you.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I do not know what you're talking about.
I got friends in pennant races. Yeah. Let my teeth shine on you, I think was my favorite.
Yeah, it was good.
Little moment.
That was good. Social graces. Okay. All right.
Do you know who the artist was on that?
It was Garth Brooks.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny's got powerful knowledge in like 3 different directions musically.
Well, listen, Garth Brooks. They played that song at Kauffman Stadium, 6th inning song for a while, and people hated it.
I would say everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. But then also the only the Sprint Center. It's an NBA NHL quality arena in downtown Kansas City. They have one banner that hangs, and it is for 9 consecutive Garth Brooks sellout shows. And it's the most pathetic banner in any arena anywhere. And yeah, so Garth Brooks had been a punchline for a long time.
I don't know if that's the most pathetic banner.
Come on, it's the only banner, and it's about consecutive sellout shows for Garth Brooks.
The Capitals have two, right? The Capitals have like, what was our guy Chad Dukes telling us when we were in D.C.? Because the Capitals have a President's Trophy banner.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we won the President's Trophy. Look at us. And I think he said, was it the ABA team that has the attendance banner?
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, I forgot about that. That's not good.
Is it the Mystics?
But at least it's cool. There's a tie to the ABA. And like, you know what I mean? There's some history there.
Hey, we set the attendance record.
We used to have an ABA team. That's kind of cool.
The Caps have a Winter Classic Champions banner in their practice arena as well. Because they won that regular season game. And the winner in the Blackhawks' 15th Winter Classic.
Oh, my God.
Very important to the Capitals.
That's not a good banner. I always, you know, in college, you can judge programs by the banners they hang. Like, you know, Northwestern for an NCAA tournament appearance. Uh-huh. Like, put that up. That's awesome because that's kind of the standard for your program. Syracuse hangs Sweet 16 or better banners. I wish it was better. But, like, KU's only Final Fours. UCLA, it's only championships. So you can tell a lot about an arena and a team based on the banners that they hang. Garth Brooks and Winter Classic doesn't really say so much for the arena.
Well, now you got me thinking. Hardcore Bulls preview on today's show? Maybe tomorrow? Well,
they don't play today, so it would be a weird thing to do today.
The NBA plays tonight, though.
The NBA does play tonight.
The league is here. Does it feel a little soon to some people? Yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's like not on the radar in some ways, but
well, it's also earlier than it normally is.
Yeah, it's usually right around Halloween,
right?
Yeah.
So it's a little earlier this year.
It does feel early. You got the
NBA. They're trying to give more days off and less back to back, like 4 and 5 days and stuff like that. So they're trying to give guys more time off in the schedule to alleviate the concern of star players just being healthy scratches for rest.
This is what the NBA season means to me as of right now, is that I'm about halfway through the Jimmy Butler profile written by Lee Jenkins in Sports Illustrated.
Okay, so you've 7 minutes in, 5 to go, something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I'll let you know. Okay. I'll keep you up to date.
I'll be waiting.
And people keep tweeting me Jordan Bell-related items.
Yes.
Be it box scores from the preseason game, or the latest was the Draymond Green quote. You see the Draymond Green quote?
How do you feel about Jordan Bell keeping your spot?
I had to make sure I was ready for opening night. He was about to take my spot.
That's Draymond Green on Jordan Bell.
Yeah, we were going to play the context game with you. But you knew that.
Oh, I knew that.
You knew that. Yeah, because people keep saying you're cornering the market on Jordan Bell regret.
That's my intellectual property.
Sure.
Is Jordan Bell angst and $3.5 million anger.
Yeah, I understand.
Draymond called him on draft night, said, you ready? You ready to go? You ready to do this? He's taking him under his wing. He's all about it. He's pumping him up. Obviously, that quote is him pumping him up a little bit. But yeah, Jordan Bell going to be good.
What odds can I get for Kyrie Irving to win MVP this year? I'm interested in that because I think he could potentially lead the NBA in scoring.
Just going to absolutely go off in Boston.
And just, you know, he's their best player. And they got
he desperately wants to make it about himself and has every reason to do so.
Yeah, he's better than Hayward and the other guys are young, right? And he'll have the ball in his hands a lot and they need 3-point shooting. Like I wonder. I mean, that's not a completely off the board pick. Obviously, I'm sure he's one of the 5 or 6 or 7 most likely candidates. But I would think that Kyrie Irving is going to have. I hope LeBron plays tonight because that'll add some drama to the NBA. Does scheduling better than anybody else. Like it opens with LeBron against Kyrie, Cavs Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals rematch, and then it opens with Houston now with Chris Paul and the Rockets and maybe the number one challenger to the Warriors, the NBA champions. So it's pretty great.
That's a pretty good slate.
It'll be top screen at best, and I will be barely paying attention because of Cubs, but it's going to actually, I'm going to be at Cubs, so I'll check it out on my phone. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's not even, doesn't really register for me.
But it's they do a phenomenal job of scheduling. I love what Barkley admitted yesterday, that his main job is going to be pretending that the Warriors are not going to win the title, and it won't be Warriors Cavs again.
Which sucks for us NBA fans. That like I love the NBA because I love basketball, but the Bulls are going to be awful, and the Warriors are going to win. So this season, while I think that there is some amazing drama and soap opera, and I'm interested in Oklahoma City, really interested in Jimmy and Taj and Tibbs getting back together with Wiggins and Towns in Minnesota, Giannis and his leap with Milwaukee. There's a ton of storylines that I'm really interested in, but the big ones like your team and the champion, I know the Bulls are going to be the worst team in the league, and I know the Warriors are going
to
win.
You can get Kyrie 17-1 right now.
17-1?
Yes, the eighth lowest odds. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
This is everywhere. This might be a surprise. Giannis is in the top five everywhere.
Giannis is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is really good.
John Wall, 35-1.
You like that one?
Yes. Wall's- I would not be shocked if they finish with a better regular season record than the Cavs.
All right. 35-1 on Wall, 17-1 on Kyrie. Might have to make some more NBA investments to... You could always bet a season fund, Speaks. That's one of the tenets of gambling. If you don't have interest in something, put some odds out
bet
there.
You bet yourself into it.
Carl Anthony Towns, 55.
55-1. It would surprise me a little.
They got to figure out who's going to get the ball and who's going to get the bulk of the scoring there.
How about that,
with
though?
Wiggins and Butler and Towns.
15-1. Joe, how are your baseball futures going?
Dodgers and Astros, so I'm in a pretty good spot.
Nice. Yeah. What's your ideal?
Dodgers 1, Astros 2. Anything else, kill me.
Okay, got it. That right there, folks, the life of a gambler.
Yeah.
We will be back.
All right. So Cubs win and kill Joe.
Okay.
Got it.
Got it.
Good plan.
Big game tonight. Big game tonight. Chris Bryant said it's a must win. We still don't have a lineup. We got Joe Madden at noon. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You know, if you look at the snap over his head in the end zone, all right, there's probably only about five or six or seven quarterbacks in this league that could get out of that.
That's John Fox heaping praise on Mitch Trubisky. The audio brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor.
Appreciate John Fox listening to the show. I think I said like exactly how many quarterbacks could get out of that? And Fox loving on that play, the safety avoidance. John Fox.
He's a huge fan of your work, John Fox. Always has been, Speaks.
Long-time
guy. Like, you know, I'm a midday show guy. Doesn't matter if it's Mac or Manley or Goff or this new idiot. It doesn't matter.
He hates Carmen. Just
hates him. Hates him. He's just locked and loaded to the Spiegel experience. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You have
thank
John
you.
Fox in your corner.
And I appreciate you not derailing my John Fox relationship. My Fox relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, hey.
The 5-year extension that I just am going to sign with Fox.
By the way, so stories that happened on Twitter I don't think make for good radio all the time, but shout out to Mark Potash for doing a great job with his tweet. Breaking, in all caps, Bears and Fox agree to 5-year deal. And it was the Fox 32 will continue for 5 more years to carry Bears preseason football. Great job. And he had a link to the press release and the whole thing. And the responses are just incredible.
Panic.
And people
immediate
just
panic.
Freaking out that John Fox is going to be here for 5 more years. It was really, really misleading and well done. And it's exactly how social media should be used.
Well, maybe that's what John Fox dreams of when he watches Mitch Trubisky. Or maybe he's been wanting to see him for a while. I mean, John Fox raving about Mitch yesterday, as were we. But here's a little more of Fox talking about Mitch and big throws.
The touchdown pass to Deion, he flushed, we adjusted, and he dropped the dime in the end zone for a touchdown. And then the play, obviously, at the end, where more than likely, if we don't get that, we're probably punting, the play he made to Ken. I think Mitch played outstanding. Did he throw the ball 45 times? No. To me, that doesn't define outstanding. Those are really good decisions, beat 6 interceptions for sure. There's a 3rd and 3 play in the red area, low red. And so sprint out to our left wasn't all perfect, but he did the next best thing, and that's to throw it away.
Man, it's John Fox.
Nice little sideswipe at Mike Glennon there. He really does listen to the show. Yeah, it wasn't 6 interceptions. Yeah, okay.
He's very excited. As are we all. Feel these nipples for Mitchell Trubisky.
I'm not going to do that.
All right, that's fine.
Peoria Matt texts in that John Fox also set up a voicemail line.
loves
parody songs.
I can't wait for his songs, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a moment a few weeks ago when John Fox was talking about Glennon, and I said it here. We talked about it a little bit in transition because it's always, of course, been a group decision who was going to play quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a moment where it sounded to me like John Fox was doing Ryan Pace's bidding, that he was playing Mike Glennon, because Ryan Pace had signed him. Ryan Pace had paid him and given him the guarantee of, this is my year. Well, at least a month or whatever, like giving him the guarantee of a window. And that's why when I see this Jason LaConfora report on CBS yesterday, it of course confirms what my bias was at this point, that Ryan Pace had been pushing for Mike Glennon to play. And even John Fox had flipped to the other side of like, all right, screw this, let's see the rookie. And that's what sources told LaConfora, that John Fox and his staff dabbled with the idea of going with Trubisky sooner. In all likelihood, would have made the switch weeks ago if not for the contract of backup quarterback Mike Glennon. So LaConfora has been wrong on a lot of things. He guesses on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't trust him, frankly. And for all we know, that also could have been leaked from John Fox and John Fox's agent.
That's entirely possible.
You know what I mean? Like, hey,
because
this
John
guy
Fox
looks better. I've been saying this the whole time.
Right. That's entirely possible. And John Fox is dreaming of a future here with the Bears as he watches Mitch and thinks about, oh, maybe this guy will win his games and I can be part of the Mitch thing moving forward.
He needs a big winning streak. Like, I would be floored. I don't even know that 8 wins brings John Fox back. Like, just like a rip-roaring finish and a winning second half and 500 on the year and that progress from 3 wins. Because I don't think that they're going to judge it. They shouldn't judge it.
On wins and losses.
On wins and losses. It should be about, you have this thing, this quarterback thing.
Well, what if the quarterback thing is in a really good place at the end of the year? And you're like, well, we got to keep Dowell Loggins. Does that mean you have to keep John Fox? Or does that mean you go out and get a different head coach and keep Dowell Loggins? You force a head coach to inherit an offensive coordinator.
Generally speaking, I think that that is bad business, to force people together like that. If you come to the conclusion that this coaching staff, as presently constructed, is the best possible way to develop Mitch Trubisky, fine, but I'm dubious of that. Like, that just doesn't seem possible, right? I would be very surprised if the Loggins-Fox combo is the best we could do. Best and brightest, right? The Chicago Bears, world-class city, Mitch Trubisky.
In no way do I think it's the best they can do.
Yeah, so I'd be very surprised if that's the conclusion they came to at the end of the year.
But the scenario, the only scenario where you might consider keeping is if Mitch looks really good and he and Loggins have developed a thing. You know, I guess at that point, if you want to go out and get Dave Tobe, a special teams coach who is supposedly a tremendous teacher, delegator, organizer, and inspiring guy, and you want him to be your head coach, you can say, all right, come.
It's the only type of coach you could potentially have an offensive coordinator already attached to.
Right, and Dave Tobe with ties to the organization, et cetera, as you go out and get that guy, bring him in and say, okay, work with Dowell. But, I mean, obviously those kind of things are a long way away and largely unlikely.
Michael Lombardi has had strong Bears thoughts, both pro and con, since Trubisky's been in. He'll join us at 11:40. Joe Madden at noon. But you want to talk about, you've phrased it to me as the responsibility that fans have heading into Game 3 tonight. I don't know what it is. We'll discuss it next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.